I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
That made me sad. The great NBA thought experiment is dead.
Yeah. I mean, it probably didn't make you as sad as Sam Hinkie made the Philadelphia fans sad. So, I mean, like, I definitely didn't think it was going to work. The process, I mean.
Yeah.
And while I thought that he was not paying attention to a whole bunch of variables, and I laid this out in an article, nobody gives a shit about the 76ers.
Yeah.
Me and you actually had
unguarded shooting.
Right, we had an unguarded shooting talking about it too. It's not like I'm insulted by the process, I just think that it was doomed to fail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. Reasons why you, the listener... Wait. Reasons that you, the listener, can hear... on our latest and greatest podcast series. Well, one of our latest and one of our greatest podcast series. Philly Cheese Tank was the name of the title. It's okay. Yeah,
nice. Nice, nice. It's no Zaza Peculiar, but it'll do.
Hey, dude, everyone thinks that's... Oh, man. I've had so many great titles, and Oliver comes in and steals my thunder.
Steals the thunder, man.
Speaking of thunder...
read my mind.
Yeah. I'm here today talking with one of our longtime contributors, special guest.
Wow, do I have, like, tenure now?
Yeah, you have tenure, I would say.
Nice. Yeah. Pension plan all set up?
You're not quite staff, because you haven't written.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's pretty much the thing holding you back. But it certainly isn't your basketball acumen and your smoothie silk voice. It's Kunal.
What's up?
Kunal. Yo. Remind me of what your Twitter is.
At KunalNaik5.
That's N-A-I-K 5?
That is correct.
And 5 is the digit, not spelled out.
Exactly, yeah. 5 like the number.
Right.
Glad we clarified.
At Kunal Naik 5. And I'm also here today with me, in sort of a metaphysical sense. I'm the prophet of the Almighty Baller. Find me at Almighty Prophet and on Facebook. Like almightyballer.com, the page. And all your wildest dreams will come true.
Nice.
Speaking of wild dreams coming true.
Oh, no.
Game 2
of
the 2016 playoffs. OKC Thunder versus Dallas Mavericks. Or rather, the team that is formerly known as the Dallas Mavericks. That is, after much injuries, it hardly looks like the Dallas Mavericks of old. Hardly looks like... It's starting to show a few gray hairs in the whiskers, if you know what I mean.
Not really, no.
The Mavs team is starting to get gray hairs in the whiskers.
Oh, I thought you said the Thunder, my bad.
No. The Thunder...
I mean, they're starting to get them at this point, but...
They're right at their peak, but not peak in the way that people think. Peak as in, like, they're a couple of steps away from falling off a cliff.
Oh, man.
The first cliff being Kevin Durant's free agency. The second cliff being Russell Westbrook's free agency in the summer after that. But, hey, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way. Despite being a Mavs fan, Thunder in 5, Thunder in 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say Thunder in 7, but it's not going to be Mavs in anything.
Agreed.
I mean, that's tragic. I certainly don't want that. Don't get me wrong. I'm from Dallas. I'm a Dallas supporter, but Kunal, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what they already probably know. Why are the Thunder better than the Mavs?
Yeah, I think there's two big reasons for that. Really analytics-based approach here. Two reasons I have are Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Arguably both on the MVP ballot. They're really good at basketball.
They are. You couldn't tell last night, but they are.
You really couldn't tell last night. Durant's final line, 7 for 33.
Right. I tweeted a shot chart. You're on a computer. Are you on your Chromebook? Is this audio going to get deleted?
No, I'm actually double laptoping right now between a computer for the audio and Chromebook for supporting evidence.
Okay, you should go to my Twitter and we can play some elevator music here for how that takes you some time. I think I'm going to play from Sims 2. There's like dun, 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 dun. So, yeah, go to my Twitter.
Dude,
there's a shot chart.
I keep seeing ads for The Sims, and the ads have, like, a brown male in them.
Dude.
It's very creepy to me. The Sims know who I am.
Do you think that that's the thing?
What?
Do you think that they actually know?
I mean...
Because, like, AdSense tracks, like, your cookies and stuff.
How would they know that I'm a, like... I don't know, I don't feel like there's a lot of self-identifying I do in general. Let alone, like, in something that would leave a trail, but... I mean, they have more information on me than I do, so... Yeah.
Skynet, also known as Google AdSense.
Alphabet, actually.
Yeah. So, are you going to my Twitter?
Is this the Crying Jordan shot chart?
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to love it, but I kind of love it.
Basically, listener, if you're not following at Almighty Prophet, first of all, what's wrong with you?
Seriously.
If you're not following at Almighty Prophet on Twitter, I tweeted out Kevin Durant shot clock with each miss being replaced by a crying Jordan. Also...
Well, it almost just looks like someone just put a bunch of crying Jordans on there with no rhyme or reason.
No.
But, like, no, that's actually his shot chart. Wow.
So... Kunal, this is also something I just wanted to do as a brief aside. So go to the site, almightyballer.com, and click on the link, the picture, the title cover. Wow, Spurs beat Grizzlies. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, click on the title for Texting and Driving 2.
Okay.
Do you see it?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you click on it?
I did.
Do you notice it?
Like, what do you mean?
Are you looking at the title, the image?
Yes.
Just keep looking.
I'm very confused.
You're on the second Texting and Driving, right?
Texting and Driving number 2. It's like, you know, blue and white person and red.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't see it? You don't see it?
Well, I'm confused.
Okay. Over the blue part, okay?
Uh-huh.
Look right above the bottom line, the title of it. You see his eyes.
Whoa. What is going on?
Do you see it?
Who is that?
It's Crying Jordan, dude.
Oh my god!
Do you see it now?
That's like next level shit, man.
Did you see it, dude?
Oh my god!
And now you see it, right?
Yeah. I can feel the water brimming from his eyes.
Isn't that great?
Wow! Bravo! Oh, man.
Oh, God. More noticeable is the crying Jordan on the background of my Chicago Bulls series, the Fred's Bulls Don't Give You Rings.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, dude, that's some of my best work.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah. So...
Wow. Speaking I just of, thought that was a distortion on my laptop for a second.
No. Like, it's the...
Yeah, bravo.
It's the sneakiest crying Jordan you ever did see. Speaking of...
Are you sick of crying Jordan at all yet? There's starting to be some crying Jordan backlash.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? I'm sick of poorly done crying Jordans, and I keep getting to the point where I'm like, God damn it, like, this isn't funny anymore. But then people will do one where it's, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're at the point where people are pre-making them so that as soon as something happens, you know, crying Jordans are just everywhere on Twitter, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, thank God the Lakers won that last game, because I thought Kobe was just going to get crying Jordaned into the grave. Well,
yeah, that's a great one. I mean, like, you can't tell me that there weren't crying Jordans, you know, there, right? Waiting in the wings.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And it's not even...
waiting for the onslaught.
And the problem with memes nowadays, you know, back in my day... You know, damn, Daniel, that wouldn't go on fucking Ellen. Ellen wouldn't buy him a lifetime supply of Vans. Memes were underground, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best spicy memes, like, no one knew about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The 4chan generation of memes?
Yeah.
Ugh.
But who gives a shit about memes? So...
Let the Sims music continue.
I wasn't pausing to think of something. I just, like...
Awesome. Oh.
So, yeah, Thunder Mavs. Was last night because of Carlisle? Or was last night just because something went wrong? And if it's a blend of the two, which it almost undoubtedly is, how much so is it one or the other?
I mean, first of all, you don't expect a performance like that from Durant, right? And a lot of the shots he had, like those two misses at the end of the game right before Wes Matthews put in that layup, where he kind of just like ran baseline off a Steven Adams screen and had like a short jumper and then a three off the offensive rebound.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Those are like good shots, you know? Those are really good looks, and usually he knocks them down.
Yeah, but
even like earlier in the game, him and Russ both were having that issue. Like, shots were just going in and out.
You know... I find myself thinking about this a lot. For me, as I've started to watch basketball more, you would think that it would get old, but it's actually this ever-evolving experience where you increasingly notice nuance. And one of the things that I was watching that I wish everyone else could watch along with me was how impeccable Wesley Matthews just hounded Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Impeccably Wesley Matthews.
Him and Justin Anderson, too.
Right. Well, Justin, though, was... Wesley Matthews was more impressive because fundamentally he didn't do anything wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's really pretty awesome. You know, the Mavs are one of those teams that are pretty smart about the way that they sign players.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone is thinking to themselves, gee, like... Okay, you remember this offseason when people were like, why the f*** did they sign J.J. Barea to that long-term deal?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that deal was like $4 million decreasing annually for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's been really good. He would have gotten more than that much money this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, now we have him locked in.
Mm-hmm.
For, I mean, it's going to be like $2 million in his last year. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with Wesley Matthews. But
I would bet on Wesley Matthews.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews.
I feel like that's just a good rule of thumb.
So, Wesley Matthews, all right, this last year, so the 2016, I think it was 2016. It was the most recent MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it was 2016. Pretty sure it happened already. You know Kirk Goldsberry?
Yeah.
Love Kirk Goldsberry. He lives in Austin. I'm going to try to get him on the podcast.
That'd be awesome.
He made this chart, the best from there. Field goal percentage leaders by zone 2002 through 2015. And basically, it's this really cool... Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna text it to you.
Okay.
Really fast. Because...
Does it have a little cartoon person on it with a speech bubble? Because his charts when he wrote for Grantland always had those, and they made me really happy.
No. But yeah, dude.
Man.
RIP. I'll never forgive ESPN for that.
Yeah, man. Although, I mean, the cool thing is, you know, it introduced us to all these really good writers, so now you're following them on Twitter, stuff like that, you can still read their stuff, and it sucks that it's not all in the same place, but, and like, I oftentimes find myself wishing that, like, God, I just wish there was one place where all of these people I really like were writing together and, like, working together, and it'd be so cool, and then I just get really sad.
Yeah. Did I, like, delete this? That'd be so dumb if I did. Oh, here it is. I bet Google knows that you're brown.
God. that's kind of terrifying and kind of like empowering. Like, yeah, fuck with me, Google. I'm a proud brown man.
Yeah.
But they totally are fucking with me by sending me Sims ads. Like, God.
You know where you're coming from. Not from experience. That's funny.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's awesome.
The reason why we took such a long time so that I could send you that picture. Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah.
So one of the rules was that you couldn't show up multiple times because where Steve Nash is right there, Dirk actually has a higher percentage.
Okay.
So did you see in the upper right-hand corner, two from the right? Who's chilling out right there?
There's what right there?
Furthest to the right, three from the left.
Mm-hmm. Wesley Matthews, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So he's nestled into this place. Where he shows up on this best from there is right behind the three-point line on the... So I guess if you were facing towards the basket, it'd be on the left side.
Yeah, right around the elbow extended area.
Yeah, so anyways...
Yeah, no, everyone knew he could play. It was just what the overall scheme was with him and Chandler Parsons and Dirk and how all of that was going to fit, especially with him coming off the Achilles.
Yeah, no, I know. I understand why people were concerned. I'm just saying, like, he was a max-worthy player, probably. I mean, the level of defense that he displayed last night was pretty dope. And, I mean, being pretty much the best shooter in the league from that place in the three-point line, it's hard. I mean, like, that's a unique... That spaces the floor in a cool and unique way, you know?
Yeah.
People wonder why, despite mid-rangers being conceptualized as bad inside of Morey Ball, while the analytics seem to suggest that mid-rangers are inefficient and bad, why there are players like Dirk and LaMarcus Aldridge who are clearly very efficient and have great plus-minus when they primarily take that top of the key only probably 4 feet in front of the three-point line, right? I mean,
yeah,
like about 18 foot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the spacing from right there in particular is just really interesting in the way that it affects pick and pops and pick and rolls and how it shifts defenders everywhere when you're such a threat from this place that's so prominently displayed right in the middle of the court.
Yeah.
But away from the basket, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think you started to see that blowback. Remember the series, the Blazers-Houston series, where LaMarcus was just that, like, 18-foot radius, he was just knocked down and burning the Rockets with that the whole series.
Yeah.
Hey, Prophet, you've heard of a box out, right?
Yes.
Well, how about a box in? As in box oh, in shit. Which you receive all sorts of cool gear from FanEssentials.net.
That's a stretch.
Yep, it might have been, but here we are. Go on their website, say my favorite NBA team is blank. Because I'm not going to speak for you. I'm not you. You're you. And only you are you. You're a beautiful snowflake. You've got a favorite team. It's sports. You got to have a favorite team. You're from a place. Get that team. Any of the NBA's many, many uncountable teams.
30.
No one knows how many there are.
You can get a customizable box. Customizable as in male, female, extra large, extra small.
Extra medium.
Delivered right to your doorstep. Anywhere in the country, including your friend's house, your brother's house, your son's house, your daughter's house, your stepdad's house, your stepdad's father's house.
And they're chibbity 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 cheap. It starts at just $14.99, and then it can also be $34.99 if you want to get ritzy. But not too ritzy, because we've got a promo code to use at checkout, which is just almighty, like the podcast. Then you will get 30% off on your first month, and that is a deal. So do that, and I'm Lux, and thank you.
And back to regular programming. Yeah, but it's interesting, and this actually gets us back to our topic. Well, I guess we sort of were talking about our topic. It wraps us back around to one of the things that we were going to talk about. That is specifically for power forwards. You know? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a guard who takes that shot, right?
Yeah.
He should be taking a three.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's nothing more horrifying, and as a Thunder fan, you must know, there's nothing more horrifying than a point guard who can... on a break, or even, like, not on a break. Even when the defense is set up...
Westbrook makes his own breaks,
man. Drain
something...
Wait, what?
Westbrook makes his own breaks, even when they're really, really not there.
Well, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Because I'm about to get there. So there's nothing scarier than a guard who's facing from the particular place that is 7 or 8 feet behind the three-point line. And I think Andre Roberson can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that?
Oh, okay.
Remember that. Are you from Oklahoma City?
No, I'm from Atlanta.
Okay. But you're a Thunder fan. And
just living in Oklahoma, having two awesome players, it just builds itself.
Yeah. I assume then that you became more of a basketball fan in college than you were as a Bab, as a wee little Bab.
Yeah.
In A-Town.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Though that the Celtics-Hawks series, when the Hawks pushed the Celtics to 7, the first year of the Celtics Big 3, that was like prime little chubby Kunal fan days. Like, I was going wild about that.
Yeah, dude. I can see it in my head. You can only imagine how the Mavs have been the last decade. The Dirk decade.
The Dirk decade. I like that.
It's been nuts. Being the first number one seed to lose in the first round. That was a dark time.
Yeah.
Going from that, you know, after it was only a few years before that we lost in a clearly, in a questionably called series, 2006.
Have people done, like, write-ups or research on that? I feel like, you know, everyone loves to talk about the Kings-Lakers series, in part, huge part probably because of the Tim Donaghy connection, but, like, has anyone talked about the 06 finals, kind of broken it down like that?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I was just listening to Rosillo and Cannell on ESPN. They're out, and on their show, this woman and this guy were talking about why... They were actually talking about the Steven Adams thing and the way that officiating and the way that the Instant Replay Center has affected the game. Because, like, I mean, were you watching the game live?
Yeah.
On TNT, right?
Yeah.
If that
NBA
was
on TNT.
If that was 10 years ago, that would have been like, it's in, Thunder win, you know?
Yeah.
But it was not such. And the guy who was filling in for Rosillo and Cannell, whatever, I don't know. The guy who was filling in for that show actually brought up in 2006 all of the phantom fouls that happened on Dwayne Wade. And, I don't know. We can get back into Steven Adams. There were a lot of good Steven Adams face memes. Did you see that face that he made?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
You got a feel for him, though. That sucks.
I photoshopped his face onto the dramatic look gopher. And I saw this tweet that was his face, and the caption was, "When you see a varmint on the other side of the saloon with his finger on his six-shooter..." Because, you know, he has that mustache and everything.
Oh, the mustache. I was about to say.
Yeah, yeah. So, that is an interesting dynamic to this whole thing. The effect of officiating and stuff.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, you know, like, especially with just in general, with instant reaction through Twitter and other social media.
Yeah.
You remember when the NFL refs went on strike? And, well, yeah, the NFL refs went on strike, and there was this Monday Night Football game, Packers-Seahawks. Which ended on this Hail Mary that, like, three different people caught in the end zone from various teams, like, all grabbing onto the ball, and they call it a touchdown, and the Seahawks win. And I remember that was one of the first times where, like, instantly social media just exploded with just, like, what the fuck was that? Like, there's no fucking way that that was anything resembling a score.
Yeah.
And very soon after that, the NFL, you know, settled their labor dispute and brought back the regular refs. And it's, like, you know, interesting to see how the ability for us to be able to give that instant, just, like, almost venomous reaction when things are very clearly wrong also impacts those kind of things.
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion to have. And one of the arguments that I haven't heard very much is based on what you just said. I feel like we're not in a position, the NBA and just sports in general, to not have instant replay. Because, I mean... Can you imagine if Twitter was around when Michael Jordan hit that off-balance shot that... I mean, he, like, It was the last shot of his career, right?
Yeah.
And he very clearly pushed off Malone. Mm-hmm. That should have been an offensive foul.
Yeah. Or Byron Russell, right?
I'm pretty sure it was Malone.
We'll go back to the tape and figure it out.
Oh, no. Maybe you're right. Maybe he stole it from Malone.
Yeah, totally.
Whatever. Yeah. The last shot of Michael Jordan's career, the shot, it was the shot for a while until Damian Lillard's the shot. There's a lot of shots. A lot of big threes, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, can you imagine if they played that instant replay? They called a foul, right? And they were like, yeah, sorry, Michael Jordan on your last shot, like, offensive foul. Sorry, dude.
I know this is the last dance and all that, but man, just didn't work out.
I mean, let's take that a step further. What if it was a little bit more, right? What if he pushed him and the defender fell over?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do you do then? If he pushes off his defender and the defender falls over, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to call a foul, right?
I mean,
you don't just, like, let him play if he just, like, goes Steve Kerr practice punch in the face on his ass and just, like, knocks him over, you know?
I mean, Lakers game the other night, man. Gordon Hayward got thrown basically, like, a solid 5 feet by Kobe just to catch the inbounds to shoot the free throws. And granted, you know, the stakes were very different then. Oh, but,
well, yeah. The stakes were different. Definitely, but the situation wasn't, you know, it was his last game, superstar, and, you know, everyone wants the narrative, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have.
Side note, so I knew a guy, a friend of mine, who told this super crazy story. When I dropped acid a little while ago, probably like 8 months ago, I could not shake the idea that, like, everything in my life and, like, in general, I did for the narrative and, like, everything was a narrative.
Yeah.
Like, I kept trying to find narratives to fit to, like, all of my life.
Yeah.
In, like, common tropes and TV shows and stuff like that. It was strange, but it was awesome.
That's pretty megalomaniacal.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was such a crazy story.
But there's two types of people. There's narcissists and people who won't admit they're narcissists.
Agreed. But yeah, officials. Officiating.
So, there's two types of officials. I don't know.
Well, I think that's kind of fair, though. There's officials who are comfortable deciding the game and officials who aren't.
Yeah, and on that note, Joey Crawford is not a friend of the program. He is garbage.
Oh, God. You remember when he threw Tim Duncan out of a game for laughing?
He was, like, chuckling. Tim Duncan was, like, chuckling. Then he responded and was like, what, are you kidding? And then he threw him out. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He actually said, you know, this was his last year, right?
Yeah.
He said in an interview that thing, he got fined by the NBA.
He got suspended for a while, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was like, that was ridiculous. Like, that was bad of me. And it made him check into anger management.
Wow.
Yeah. So, that's funny.
Wow.
I mean, it's not funny, so that's interesting.
Do you follow Bob Vulgaris on Twitter?
No, I don't think so. Era Vulgaris, that's that,
Peral Bob. Yeah,
Era
yeah,
Vulgaris
yeah.
is that, that album by, Queens of the Stone Age, right?
Maybe? This might just be going over my head entirely.
It is.
But, yeah, Bob Vulgaris, the NBA gambler, he was talking about officials. I can't remember what game it was, but he saw, like, Scott Foster was scheduled to officiate it.
Yeah.
And Scott Foster, during the Tim Donaghy scandal, they were like, numerous calls in between Donaghy calling his bookie of Donaghy calling Foster, which is like just super, super sketch. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He has more calls in that time period to Foster than even to his bookie.
Wow.
Yeah. But well, again,
the NBA probably investigated him.
Yeah. And again, in this era, I feel like you just can't get away with that kind of sketchiness. In terms of on the
well,
court,
I don't know, man. I mean, it's so hard, you know. So the thing with Steven Adams is, did the shot leave his fingers? That's a binary evaluation. That's like either it did or it didn't.
Yeah.
But the thing with Stan Van Gundy, he got fined by the NBA, and I'm not sure if that was valid because he just told his team. If you watch it, I don't think his tone was off. He was just like, "What my guys need to know is that LeBron's gonna get that call every time."
Yeah.
Because he bowled over a defender and it wasn't called for a charge. And, like I agree with that. LeBron's going to get that call every time. And then the question is, you know, is that a bad thing? I mean, there was another thing I saw last night with Justin Anderson. It was earlier in the game, I think. And he tried to do this Euro step that was just, like, terrible. And maybe if he was Kobe Bryant or LeBron or something like that, you don't call a charge when you make contact on a Euro step.
Yeah.
But if it's Anderson, you call that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, nice try, rookie, like, you know, but you haven't earned that right yet to...
Which is kind of fucked up.
Well, I don't know. It's like, you know, I don't know if it's fucked up. It's hard to say. Where do you land on this whole thing? Because I have a lot of strong beliefs and opinions and stuff. But I used to say, when people ask me where I stood on the Iraq War, I used to say, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. You know, I'm not willing to take a position one way or the other because I don't know, you know? By now, I think I've threshed out my opinion. Don't need to get into that, though.
Of course. But that answer, though, actually brings up a whole host of more things about, you know, Steph Curry and LeBron James and their engagement in current affairs.
What, are you saying that Steph Curry is going to go fight in Iraq against ISIS?
No, whether or not Steph Curry should go fight in North Carolina against bigots.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Which I think is an entirely, just like an entire podcast, honestly, in itself.
Dude, I've been trying so hard to get Spencer to do, I've been wanting Spencer, Oliver, did you listen to the Grizzlies podcast?
I don't know. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I'm sure I have.
Bad News Bears?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't listened to it, you should go back and listen to it, because it was me, Oliver, Lux, and Spencer, and I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was a really good
four-man.
Okay. And I've been trying to get that together for the Charlotte thing, but he's hard to get a hold of, you know?
Yeah.
He's difficult to schedule around. But
of course.
Yeah, I agree. What would it do for public opinion in the NBA if Steph Curry was like, we should move the All-Star game?
Yeah, well, the guy, Free Darko, Bethlehem Scholes.
He follows me on Twitter.
Wow, nice. Yeah, he wrote something about that today, just in terms of, like, you know, guys, we can't expect athletes to save our public conscience in general.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. To me, it's like, I was talking about James Harden the other day and his lack of leadership, and I made the point that people hear lack of leadership and they're like, well, that's a knock on him. But to me, it's not really a knock on him as much as it's the absence of a positive.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, you put someone like that, if the center who was alongside James Harden was Marc Gasol instead of Dwight Howard, the Rockets would be in a different boat,
mm-hmm.
you know? If the superstar across from James Harden was like Damian Lillard, you know, that would be okay.
Yeah.
The defense might not be okay, but his lack of leadership, quote unquote, would be okay. So it's just, it's the lack of a positive, and it's like, I commend athletes when they speak out on social issues, but I certainly don't feel like it's fair.
Expected.
Right. I mean, they're putting an orange ball through a hoop, you know? Their only qualifications are that they have to be really good at putting said ball through said hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're Meta World Peace, stopping people from putting ball said through said hoop. but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not part of the job terms, but it is above and beyond. And speaking of not being able to put the ball in the hoop, Thunder, man.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
No, that's fine. I mean, I like going on top of it. Just see where the wind takes us.
Yeah.